This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Good Things, the show where we talk to good people who are doing good things. I'm Dashran Johan and my guest on today's show is Ong Yong Shun, who's also more commonly known as Zero Ong. Now, that's something I want to ask you about later. And Ong Yong Shun, he founded the app Jome Study to help students across the country prepare for their examinations. Now, the best part is students can download this app absolutely for free. And recently, for his efforts, Zero was selected by Forbes to be on their prestigious 30 Under 30 Asia list. Welcome to the show, Zero. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, Mr. Dashran, for the welcoming host.
Mr. Dashran, that's the first time someone's called me that on air. But Zero, tell me about this whole idea, Zero. It's such a quirky sort of name attached to you. What's the story behind your name, actually?
There's actually not really a cool story behind it, but I really just wanted a nickname that people can easily remember. And, whenever they see the word or they come across the word Zero, they will be thinking of me. So that's the impression that I want to make for people to know me so far, because I rarely see people, people naming themselves after a number. So I wanted something unique. So that's why I went with the name Zero.
So there's no particular reason why you chose that number?
No, I just like probably the alphabet Z, so I just go with
this. I always just made the assumption that because you're doing coding, and I don't know anything about coding, but I'm assuming there's like ones and zeros. That's the thing I know about computers, right? So that's what I thought. But let's talk about your app, Jome Study. What inspired you to start this app?
All right. Actually, I have a very interesting story to share. And this is a true story that I experienced myself. Mm-hmm. When I was in from four, from five, I think, just like any other ordinary Malaysian, I took Sejahtera Belajar Malaysia. And I was living in the city area. So all my friends, peers, we all took tuitions at night. So I was also taking tuition too. So I was at night, 8 p.m. class, I still remember. I was in the car. My parents were driving the car. I was in the car enjoying the night view, chilling, And then a sudden thought flashed into my mind. And I remember that I actually have a quiz, like a short quiz in the tuition class later on. Then I realized I haven't revised and studied for it. And this teacher was really strict. And then if I don't pass the test or whoever don't pass the test, we'll get to stay back for 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, no, we've all been there.
Yeah, it's a weekend, it's a weekend. As a student, I want to go home and play games, watch movies, chill out. So I want to take out a book and quickly revise so I can pass the test. And I took out a book. It was at night, reading a book in a car. It's really uncomfortable, and now I have to read it. It's at night. I have to take out my own phone. I put it as a torchlight, reading in a car. It's really uncomfortable. So I asked myself this question, is there a platform or perhaps a mobile application to be specific that caters this short and sweet revision notes for students like me from 415 to study on the go? And then I went to do a bit of market research. I went to, of course, I have this idea in my head. So I wanted to see whether there is such similar platforms. And there wasn't really a specific platform that really caters the students' needs. So that's how Jome Study really came into my head. And I was like, why not? I just started out, initiate this entire thing and benefit the younger generation in preparing for their syllabus.
So this is specifically for SPM students?
Yeah, we cater notes to from 4 and from 5 students to prepare them for SPM.
And do you come up with the notes yourself? How does that work?
Some of the notes, yes, but most of the notes we actually collaborated with teachers and also ex-SPM graduates. For example, subjects like I don't take, like for example, science. I don't take science, so I have to actually hire another person to prepare the notes for me.
All right. Have you always been, because you sound like someone who, most of us, like you said, right? you know, it's the weekend, especially when we're in high school, we want to chill out, we want to enjoy ourselves. But you are someone who thought, because you want to do that, now let's come up with an educational platform that can sort of ease people's revision, you know, and preparation for exams and all that. I don't think many 17-year-olds actually think about this, right? Have you always been passionate about education and I guess also entrepreneurship, right? Because essentially that's what this is. It's a business, right?
Yep. I would say teaching is kind of my hobby. So education could be some sort of my passion. I'm currently also teaching students on how to play piano. I'm a grade 8 graduate from piano.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's like a part-time tutor. So what really makes me passionate about education is when you teach a student and you see the progress the student made from knowing nothing to knowing something. For example, for me, if a boy that doesn't know how to play piano now knows how to play simple yet nice pieces, it really satisfies you as a teacher. So I think that what really makes me feel that I want to continue to provide education knowledge to people without limits. And for entrepreneurship, definitely I'm excited about it. I'm definitely passionate about it. So I like how flexible entrepreneurship gives you in terms of whatever you can do, whatever you believe in, you can execute it. To me, entrepreneurship is about three steps. I'd like to share it out is planning, number mm-hmm. one, and number two, executing, and number three is adapting. So right. For me, Jome Study in this case, planning is all about coming up with proposals, coming up with doing market research, knowing my competitors and knowing the space, how many potential, knowing the statistics and the numbers, going for Department of Statistics Malaysia, check out the numbers and come up with a proposal planning and plan out the entire time frame on what you want to execute. And then the second step is executing for me, which was coding an application and then trying to market it, how you're going to market to, how you're going to push out to the market. And the last is adapting, which you constantly adapt to the environment, you know, because if you don't adapt right now, you don't be resilient, you're going to get eliminated by the society. And that's what I think is very crucial in entrepreneurship.
Hmm. Now, going back to the name, your name Zero, or my assumption of what it meant, right? Ones and zeros, coding, all these sorts of things. What is it? Because correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't just come up with the idea, but you actually did the work and executed it yourself. How did you know about coding before this? Did you study, have any, you know, did you go for classes on coding? How do you, tell me about that whole process.
Yeah, sure. Regarding the process, it's definitely very challenging because I have zero technical, zero coding background. In SPM, my school doesn't offer computer science. And then I went for college and a college I take STPM, there is no computer science too. So I learned all by myself through online. So for those who know coding, you probably heard of Stack Overflow. It's basically a forum for coding coders. And I just depend on Google, YouTube, and also Stack Overflow to learn all the coding basic stuffs. Sometimes when you face issues and bugs, which is very normal in coding, for me, I don't have people to refer to because people around me, they don't have, they're not into the coding industry. And the only people I went to for was, you know, those random strangers online through Facebook forums. I asked them on the Facebook groups. And I don't know why, it's always people from India, really helpful, and they are really genius in coding, are the ones who kind of like help me solve some of my problems. Whenever I face a problem, I went to forums, and they are the ones who always be there and just being really helpful to solve it. So Stack Overflow, Google, YouTube, I think you need to have, for those who want to learn coding, you need to have the initiative, and your initiative to go and learn. I think because the internet, it's full of knowledge. It's up to you whether you take the initiative to learn from it.
So how long was this process? Because I'm completely mind blown by that, right? Because I look at tech, I mean, people say young people know tech. I guess I know how to do, like, you know, use social media and run my mouth on Twitter. I know how to do all those things. But coding is a whole different, it's an entire language, right? How did you go from knowing nothing to going, knowing everything, you know, to launching, or maybe not knowing everything, but knowing enough to launch an app? How long was that process?
It took me about more or less 6 months learning coding. Then you start really, after you learn how to code, you really start to code your application to go towards the direction of your idea and then distributing it. I would say in the 6 months, it's definitely challenging where you have to really plan it out properly. For example, if I tell myself I want to launch it in June, you're going to take 6 months and I'm going to plan out my studies, what I want to learn, and then how much time I need to code, this and that. I would say you definitely need to have a bit of passion in terms of coding because it's really difficult. And the time frame for it, it's around 6 months or more or less, yeah.
Right. I mean, 6 months is still, you know, incredibly, it's such an achievement, I must say. Do you think, but here's the thing that you said you learned it from Google, from YouTube, things like that. Do you think that the fact that you launched your own app using lessons you learned outside of school, you know, again, YouTube, highlights a problem with the Malaysian education system? Because we talk a lot about digital, we are in the digital age, but yet what we learn in school has been the same since our grandparents' generation, our parents' generation, and all this, you had to go outside to learn all this.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a problem, but because if we look at the initiative, for example, the PD3 is a good example. The government abolished PMR and replaced it with PD3. So you can, and PD3 it's not just exam orientated. So there is two subjects like sejarah and geography, which is 100% coursework. So when you look at that perspective, you can understand that the government is trying to not be too exam orientated in terms of exams. And then recently you see the government abolished UPSR, so I assume they're going to come up with assessments that's going to assess the students in terms of extra curriculum skills perhaps. So I would say the government, maybe it's a bit slow in terms of implementing all this, but I think we're heading in the right direction. For example, computer science, now it's actually a subject in secondary school, but it's just that not all schools offer that particular subject. Some schools in KL, they offer computer science in government schools, but not all schools does that. So I think if the Ministry of Education are able to implement this kind of facilities and also this subject to nationwide, it's going to definitely help the younger generation to get in touch into this subject earlier so they can plan things out faster in a way that you don't have to, perhaps like me, you don't have to self-learn yourself because you have a guide and you know which direction you're heading to.
Do you also think that, you know, apart from, you know, introducing these subjects, like you said, computer science has been, you know, introduced and now some schools, selected schools have them, but do you think the level of importance of these subjects are emphasized? Because I remember when I was in high school, that was about, when I was 17, it was about 11 years ago. So when I was after PMR going into Form 4, maybe 12 years ago, there was always this perception that if you are a so-called smart student, I'm using air quotes here, you have to take bio, chemistry, physics, maybe accounting. And then only if you're the back-end sort of students, then you go and take your vocational classes, your arts classes, perdagangan, I'm guessing computer science will fall into that category as well. Do you think that we need to change our mindset now that the entire working landscape, the job market has shifted? It's not no longer the same as it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I would say definitely we have to prioritize coding as the next next subject that is really, really potential to become. For example, if we can put it at the same level as perhaps MS or biology or chemistry, because as you all know, people who are in the workplace right now, you know we are in the fourth industrial revolution, big data is coming, AI is coming. Whether we like it or not, we have to try to acquire this kind of skills to provide we are relevant to the market. So we definitely have to change this kind of mindset. But I think changing this kind of mindset starts from the family itself, where the parents have to be, oh, my kids are taking this subject, it's fine, but because we have to look into what the subject can contribute to my kid instead of seeing how the society perceive the value of my kid taking the subject. For example, if my kid takes a perniagaan or those, as you said, those bit subjects that are not that and not that attractive as other subjects, you would say we have to, as parents, we definitely have to support our kids to do that, to take the subject and to not care about what society thinks. And that's how we can start initiate to change that kind of mindset.
Hmm. All right. On that note, we do need to go for a very quick break. After the break, I'll be asking Zero about the challenges he's faced while embarking on his entrepreneurial journey. But on a separate note, we are living in a digital age, like we just mentioned earlier, and a lot of us spend, you know, our days and nights on our phones. But are you aware of how much time you spend hunched over your phone? So if you feel your neck getting tight and your shoulders tensing up, you got to tune in to the conversation the Health and Living Gang will be having with consultant orthopedic and trauma surgeon Dr. John De Cruz from Park City Medical Center. Now, many people with prolonged use of mobile phones suffer from something called tech neck. I mean, something I'm not too sure what exactly it means either, and how do we, you know, sort of treat it? What can we do about it? So I'm going to find out. If you want to find out as well, you can tune in on Tuesday on the 11th of May on Health and Living at 4 p.m. All right, so that thing is next week. But for now, we're going to go for a quick break. I'll be back with Zero Ong on Good Things, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. It's Friday, and you know what that means. It's another episode of Good Things. And on the show with me today is Zero Ong, co-founder of the Jome Study app. And he, Zero, who recently got selected by Forbes to be on their annual 30 Under 30 Asia list. Now, Zero, what do young people need to keep in mind if they're interested in entrepreneurship? I know it's something that you just embarked on, right? It's a journey that you just started a couple of years ago, 1 year to be exact. What do you need? What have you learned? What do young people need to keep in mind?
I believe we must have a quality called grit for especially younger people. And basic grit is basically a passion and perseverance for long-term goals. So younger people, as you probably heard of it, that those older generations say that the younger generations are like strawberries. You pop them and they are mad about it. I don't think it's entirely true. Of course, some part of us are like that, but having the quality grit definitely will help you to set a logical and rational goal, long-term goal, I would say. Because if you're interested in entrepreneurship, it's not just a one-day thing. You got to plan it out, as I said, planning, executing, and adapting of your business idea. So you got to plan it out. And during execution phase, you must have grit because you're going to face a lot of issues, a lot of hurdles, a lot of challenges, and it's up to you how you're going to solve it. And you got to always come up with different ways to solve the problem itself, because you're going to use solution A to solve this problem, but it doesn't work. You got to take the initiative and you have to come up with solution B to solve the problem, because there you're going to face definitely a lot of hurdles. It's just up to you, and see, you got to be grit enough to hang in there, don't give up, and you got to solve the issue one by one. And I believe we all, the younger generation, must have grit.
Now, you talk about grit, you talk about perseverance, but I think for a lot of us, right, unless you come from, at least this is our perception, unless you come from a very well-to-do family, entrepreneurship can, you know, can be a very scary thought. Normal concerns, for example, are how do we even get into it? You know, I don't have a large capital, I don't have the funds. What are your thoughts on this?
I would say entrepreneurship isn't for everyone. Definitely, yes, if you come from a very well-to-do family, you have a lot more opportunities. I'm going to put it out there. If you are rich, it equals to more choices, more options. Mm-hmm. A good example is if I'm rich, then I can choose to send my children to overseas or not. If I'm not that rich, then I don't have a choice to send my kids to overseas. So for me, I'm coming from a middle-income family, the M40. So it's seeing from both sides, I think, for people who are interested in entrepreneurship but doesn't have large capital, so this is the two steps that you can do. Number one, go take up a job, a side job. If you have a main income job, you go take up another job, save up your money, cut your expenses. If people say you're a cheapskate, let them be, because you have money for the future. So save it up and then use that money to build a prototype of your idea. If you are into mobile application like me, perhaps you can self-learn. If you can't, you self-learn the fundamentals, at least the fundamentals, and then perhaps hire another person to come up with a prototype of a mobile application. Or if you're into product line, for example, a shirt, or you need a physical product, you probably need to rent a 3D printer or perhaps buy a 3D printer using that money that you earn. And that's step one. So saving money to build up a prototype. Step two is go to investors. That's the only way if you like to get a large capital and you don't have it, because saving money will only save to a certain point of amount of money. You can't save like a few hundred K in a few years. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. So coming from not that very well-to-do family, you save your money, get a prototype, and then go to investors. There's angel investors, crowdfunding, because you need a prototype to convince them that this idea is not just on paper. You got to convince them that this is a physical idea that you are passionate about and you really want this idea to go big. So that's why you pitch to them. And that's, I believe, how you can get large capital without coming from a very well-to-do family.
And is that what you did as well? Because you say you're from M40, you didn't have a large capital. What was your journey like?
For me, it was, I did not have investors. Mm-hmm. I self-learn everything myself. So the cost is really, really low to the point that it's really easy to break even. So I self-learn everything myself, and that's how I'm able to not get any investors. But if you're unable to self-learn, it's still okay. As long as you have a little money, come with a prototype and then look for investors. But for me, getting investors is always crucial if you want to expand to a certain point, because you have a certain limit of funds, lah. To be honest, you can't really fuck up too much for it. So you, in a certain point in your startup or in your company that you want to expand, you definitely still need investors to come in.
And is that what you're looking into now?
Currently, we are still deciding on it. Yeah. So far, we haven't really are looking into investments, but maybe in the near future. Yeah.
All right. So I guess, you know, take it one step at a time. But talk to me about the challenges of embarking on your journey, especially, you know, creating an app. You didn't have much money. You learned everything yourself. But, you know, you also want to paint a realistic picture, right? Not that you haven't done that already. But what I'm getting at is, you know, we don't want people to think that, oh yeah, anybody can just start an app, just start lah. Like, oh, I want to do it. You know, it's a lot more than that, right? It's a lot more dedication.
Yeah. The challenges, I would say, definitely is the bugs, you know, the errors when you code an application and you don't know how to solve it. I don't know how to solve it. And it's really, really I was really struggling with it. So I think at the end of the day, it's you really have to take the initiative to solve the problem. Because to me, entrepreneurs are problem solvers. You identify a problem, you come up with a solution, then you sell the solution. At the same time, you are providing the solution to the people who is facing the problem. So to me, when you are a problem solver, very naturally, automatically, when you are coming out or building up your startup, you have to be a very powerful problem solver, and you really, 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 really have to have the positive mindset to find ways to solve that problem. That's, I think, the very main challenges all entrepreneurs face. You will face tons of problems. You have to come up with a list of solutions to solve what you faced. And for juggling all this, definitely would be, I would say you really have to have a very strict timetable to follow, and you'll be disciplined about it. Entrepreneurs, you got to be no time for anything else. So you really have to sort out your timetable and make sure you have the right amount of time for everything.
Because you were, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you were, you know, in the early stages of this app, especially when you were working on it, you were also working part-time right at the time?
Yeah, I was working part-time in a career service company as an agent.
How did you balance everything?
Two things I would say. Number one, I suggest for those who want to, who has a bit of problem arranging their time, you need to have a money planner. That's what I did. A money planner with all the to-do things in a single month. And then number two, you need to have the discipline to follow it. Because you can have multiple thousands of planners sticking up on your wall in the room, but you don't have the discipline to follow it, it's pointless. So
tell me about it. That's the struggle, isn't it? You know, like that sounds like my working out journey. I put all the planners and all on the wall, and then in the end, I just don't follow through.
Yeah. So I mean, we all been there. So we definitely have to have discipline to really follow the schedule. And then that's how I think I manage my time between the part-time job and also Jump Study itself.
And were there moments where you felt like giving up? Because this is like, you know, this was something entirely new to you. You struggle, you make mistakes. Were there points where, you know, maybe 3 months in, you're like, okay, this is just not for me. I can't.
Yes, definitely there's thoughts, you know, if I'm lying if I'm saying there isn't. So there are thoughts that you want to give up. Definitely, I believe everyone who started something, you feel if it's very challenging, you feel like giving up. I ask myself these questions, and for those who are struggling right now, you also can ask yourself these questions. Why did you start it in the first place? So I asked myself this question when I was in the middle of coding everything, because it was really challenging. And then my answer to it was, since I started, I take the initiative to learn everything right now. Am I going to put everything behind? I'm in 50%, I'm halfway there. So if the answer is no, I'm not going to put everything behind, then that's how you continue. You don't give up. That's why I would say you need to have grit also, the perseverance, so you can see your long-term goal and aim for it and then execute and try to accomplish it.
You know, something interesting, you know, about this philosophy about not giving up, right? When you're embarking on this journey, are you trying to balance between the realistic possibility of you being able to comprehend this? I'm talking about maybe your talents, your passion, what you're good at, and you know, this whole don't give up. Because do you think that, you know, that once you go down this path, after like 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, if you couldn't comprehend, let's say, what happens? What do you do if you're someone in that shoe, in those shoes, right? You're going down this journey and you realize that, okay, I have absolutely no ability to comprehend any of this.
Yeah. If that happens, the only way, the solution, for example, if it's my case, I really don't understand coding at all, but I really am passionate about that idea, I could find co-founders. And again, finding co-founders is not just about giving equity, because a lot of people, you give them equity for a startup, they see no value in it. So you have to pay them to become your co-founder at that startup stage. So again, back to my step one is you have to go and get a job, a side income job, and then pay the co-founder to do the tasks that you cannot do, but also at the same time having the same aligned vision of that idea you believe in. So if you face this kind of issue, it's okay. You know, sometimes, yes, as I said, if you really can't get a hang of coding, or for example, the things that you've been doing, you just can't understand it, you have to find another way to overcome that problem that you're facing. So that's what entrepreneurship is about. You know, you face a problem, you come up with another solution to overcome that problem.
All right. I think that's really, really well said. Now, before we wrap up this conversation, Zero, what are your final thoughts about, you know, young people, a message perhaps to any young listeners that we might have who may be 17 themselves and they are, you know, they have all these ideas. Give them, what would your message be in terms of entrepreneurship?
I would like to share my quote, my favorite quote, to be honest. It's actually never stop seeking discomfort. So it really, really hits me hard, because if we are forever in a comfort zone, we will never know what we are capable of doing. We never know what is the limitation, because in a comfort zone, you don't try to explore new things. So when you step out of your comfort zone, and that's where you realize, wow, I'm capable of doing this, or then it's a stepping stone for you to unlock more achievements in your life. So my advice, my thoughts is definitely never stop seeking discomfort, and always try new things in your life. And that's how you really, really, really try, really, really learn, explore new things.
All right. And where can people download the app Jom Study and also follow you on your social media pages?
You can check out my application. It's called Jom Study, JOMSTUDY. It's available on Play Store, App Store, iPhone, and Android, both platforms. For social media, you guys, for those interested, if you disagree or agree with whatever I say, you can DM me based on Instagram. My Instagram username is zero.ong, zero.ong, zero.ong. And if I have the time, I'll definitely reply to you and we can talk things out.
Well, all right. On that note, thanks so much for speaking with me today, Zero.
Thank you so much, Mr. Darfin.
It's a pleasure. All right. The pleasure has been mine. I've been speaking with Ong Yong Xuan, also known as Zero Ong, the founder of the Jom Study app. And he recently got selected by Forbes to be on their annual 30 Under 30 Asia list. So if you missed any part of this conversation, you can download the podcast on the BFM app or on bfm.my. You just have to search for Good Things. You've been listening to Good Things with me, Dashran Johan, on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.